Hello, and welcome to a special episode of the Batteries Included podcast. I'm Dominic Chione, and my co-host today is Tom Malogny, senior editor at Inside EVs and host of the YouTube channel State of Charge. For this episode, we are joined by special guest Asim Kapur, who is the chief revenue officer for GM Energy. In that position, he is responsible for business development, among many other things, and probably knows as much about the GM Energy unit and its suite of products as anyone. So thank you very much for joining us, Asim.
Thanks for having me.
We've asked you to join us here today to talk about GM Energy's vehicle home, or V2H, system with PowerBank. But before we dig into all the details of those products, maybe we should start with just a look at the larger picture. So beyond the obvious desire for another healthy revenue stream for General Motors, why has GM started up this business, and what kind of ambitions does it have for, say, like the next decade, if that's not too far ahead to look into the future?
Yeah. So I think, first of all, thank you very much for the opportunity to share our vision and how we're really, trying to move towards a full electric future. And one of our, key aspirations is to have, a zero emissions transportation sector. And as part of that, GM Energy is supporting our mandate by delivering clean charging and also now energy solutions for our customers, both retail and fleet. And really the purpose behind why our business unit, really supports that mission is by offering, turnkey charging and energy solutions for our customers. And the intention is that we want to essentially, reduce the complexity for the customers as they, transition to an EV lifestyle, how we can offer them seamless charging solutions, at home, public charging, as well as fleet and depot charging for our large commercial customers. And then building on that experience, how we can then unlock additional value from the EV. And to that end, we've introduced our home energy management system and our vehicle to home product line. So the idea is really to help the customers take advantage of our their investment with EVs, with General Motors. And more importantly, build the confidence, that they can live in the future with us. So really excited to be here and looking forward to talk more about the products.
Okay. So I guess let's do that. So starting with like the home charger, we can go through the list off like kind of the suite of products that you have there right now. So just maybe tell us what they can do and how they maybe work together. So yes. We have the, yeah. So yeah, go ahead.
So what we've done, Dominic and Tom, is we've really taken a building block approach, right? As I said, the experience starts with charging. And we have one of the largest dealer network, right, in the country. 90% of the U.S. population lives within 10 miles of a GM dealership. And as a customer, walks into one of our dealerships, our intention is to really be able to streamline their journey, in terms of the charging offer. So it starts with home charging, where we offer, our unidirectional or our standard chargers. Which are rated for 11.2 kilowatt or 19.2, which are the fast chargers. We've now taken that and, taken it a notch up and developed our bidirectional chargers, which is the first of its kind product that we've launched, which is the building block for our vehicle to home system. And what we sell the system is in essentially three different configurations. We have the customer can, begin their journey with us with the power shift charger, which is essentially unlocks the capability. And on building on that, we have the vehicle to home kit that allow, which we call the vehicle to home bundle, which has the wall mounted inverter. It has a home hub and a dark start battery. And the intention there is that, those pieces of equipment allow the customer to be able to exchange energy between the vehicle and the home, seamlessly and safely. The inverter essentially converts the energy, right, which is DC power into AC power. The wall-mounted home hub essentially allows, has all the smart controls that allows the system to detect when there is there's an outage and automatically power, the home from the vehicle. And also, a dark start battery that essentially is there to keep, to keep the system on in the event, there's an outage. Building on that, the customer can then pair it with our PowerBank product, which is our energy storage offering. You know, the customer has the option to then integrate that further with a solar system. You know, they can have an existing solar system, or they can choose to invest one. And as you build into that, you know, it can lead to a fully self-contained home energy management system. You know, and the customer can seamlessly exchange energy between their solar system, the backup stationary storage, and the EV. So it's first of its kind system that allows you to be able to have, you know, energy that you can actually generate from the sun and power your home, power your vehicle. And in the event of an outage, you know, you can essentially live off the grid, right? Or, you know, even depending on the size of the system and the configuration, you know, you can have you know, fairly, you know, a comparable setting that allows the customer to take advantage of the resilience value, as well as in some markets, you know, there's utilities are incentivizing stationary storage, and you know, there's grid arbitrage opportunity. So it essentially unlocks more value streams that the customers can take advantage of. So that's, you know, that's how we've launched it. And I'm very excited to share that, you know, at the beginning of this month, we're running a market offer that's discounted our products by about 25%. So the entire bundle that I shared, like all three configurations, are discounted. And then when you pair that with the income tax credit that is available right under the IRA towards both the product and the installation cost, you know, it's a very, very compelling value proposition, right, in terms of improving the return on investment for the customer. So yeah.
Man, 25% off is big. That's a lot.
Yes.
Right on. Tom, do you have a question for Asim?
Well, one of the things that, yes, and thanks for coming on, Asim. I appreciate you joining us here today. So one of the questions I have that I was probably going to ask later, but you mentioned it now, it's at the top of my mind, was grid arbitrage. You know, I've talked to a lot of people from a lot of different OEMs, and people have different opinions on that as far as battery warranty. You know, I buy a Chevy Silverado EV, this giant battery. You know, I want to start using it in certain markets to save on my electricity bill and, you know, charge it up when I have low off-peak power rates. And I work at home, so I might as well just use my truck now to power my house all day and just, you know, shut off the grid during the day. Where do you see that going? Well, first of all, what's GM's position on that today? Am I allowed to do that? Will it affect my battery warranty? And moving forward, where do you see the market going with that? Because I could see, and I flat out had some OEMs tell me, look, we're not warranting your battery if you're going to use it to power your house all day. That battery is to propel your vehicle. So can we talk a little bit about, you see, where do you see that going?
Yeah. So first of all, Tom, I think the products that, you know, we have introduced with our EVs, we've done quite extensive testing over the course of the last 2 years when we've developed the product to essentially, you know, give the customer confidence that their EV battery life will not be impacted for any discharging capability of the vehicle. You know, that if you use the vehicle to power your home, you know, so to that end, you know, so let me just first put that to rest, that General Motors is going to stand behind the warranty, you know, on the EV itself, which typically is 8 years or 100,000 miles, and that will not be impacted by the use, you know, for the vehicle to home system. As for where the opportunity in the grid is headed, you know, so I have deep energy expertise. I worked in the energy industry for over two decades before I joined General Motors. And really why I came, you know, to GM was really the opportunity is for the first time ever, you know, you can have EVs become a resource for the grid, right? You can actually have EVs provide grid balancing services, you know, resiliency, you know, opportunities. So EV-enabled virtual power plants, you know, is going to be mainstream in the future. Of course, we're at the tip of the iceberg in terms of how we've launched, you know, our first of its kind product. And I think what's unique about United States grid is that, you know, it is very unique in different states, right? So first, it's, you know, heavily regulated between federal and state governments. It's market, you know, regulation driven. But what we are seeing is that in states that have high grid congestion, you know, which continues to, you know, increase with between transportation electrification, building electrification, right, with heat pumps, and now with AI-driven demand, There are certain parts of the grid where these arbitrage opportunities would emerge a lot faster than others. Eventually, once there is enough consumer confidence, you know, the technical dispatchability of the assets is also validated and market mechanisms exist, you know, this capability would be mainstream, right? So it's nothing like how the solar industry evolved, you know, over the course of the last two decades. You know, we see a similar opportunity with EVs. And what's really, you know, why it drives so much confidence in this vision is the fact that majority of the times, you know, the cars that are used for in the retail applications are parked in a customer's garage, right? 80% of the time, the vehicle is underutilized or unutilized. So it's a sitting asset that can be tapped and can provide grid services. So we see an opportunity, but the unlock will happen state by state. And that's part of the reason why our go-to-market strategy is very focused on helping the customers who can take advantage of that value today. And, you know, we help them access those resources. And one of the, you know, unique things we've done, which is very different from some of our competitors, is that we're partnering with the utilities. You know, we've taken an energy partnership first approach, and where we are partnering with the utilities in order to have our product certified, make sure that, you know, before we launched, it's been tested and validated, you know, to not only the UL standards, but also utility standards, so our customers don't run into challenges. And second, you know, as we introduce more advanced capabilities, we're piloting these with the utilities in order to validate that functionality, because that's what's going to really drive consumer confidence, utility confidence, and that then unlocks the capability for the customer to be able to use their asset for a grid service. So that's where we see the future, and you know, we're all in.
Thank you for that. So these systems are really kind of popular right now. Especially, I live in Florida, so we get a lot of hurricanes now and big storms, and power, you know, the grid can go down for, you know, a day, a week, 2 weeks. So I feel that there's a lot and an increasing demand for this kind of product. So, and there's, you have a different entry points for different consumers. We all have different kind of budgets that we can play with. So, for some more budget oriented consumers, how the easiest way to get into this, I'm thinking, is the PowerShift charger. So, what can they do with that charger exactly? If they just have like the budget for that piece, what can they do with that? And do you offer it as standalone, right?
Yes. So the PowerShift charger is, you know, it's rated at 19.2 kilowatt hours. It's one of, you know, the fastest chargers that's out in the industry. It is the building block, so it allows you to preserve the optionality in the future to pair it with the balance of the system that you can, you know, then use to discharge the charge off the EV. I think one of the other things that really is unique about the vision that we are laying out with our customers is, you know, Our products are all modular, right? So you start with a PowerShift charger. You decide that you're not ready for a vehicle-to-home system today, or maybe in a few years. The future EVs that you're going to invest in with General Motors are going to be compatible with that asset, right? So as you now build on those capabilities, you can, you know, then use that to get into a home energy management system. But at the onset, you know, the PowerShift charger, you know, of course, allows you to be able to charge the vehicle, you know, at a faster rate. Also, these assets are very intelligent devices, right? So they come with our own digital interfaces. You know, with that, which is fully integrated into the My Owner or the My Brand app experience. And you can see at all times, you know, your usage. And in the near term, what the value of that investment is that in many states, we are partnering with utilities to offer managed charging programs. And what that does is allows the customer to be able to save money when the energy prices are the highest. And essentially by charging your vehicle at times when the price is the lowest in the grid. And the charger is smart enough to be able to respond, you know, to those grid needs. So as, you know, you start with that, right? You want to save money and you get into that investment, and then it allows you to be able to enroll your EV into the program that's being offered by your local utility and take advantage. And so it's a building block to then, you know, then you want to take on the next step, which is to power your home and take advantage of the resilience value. And then what we see the future is beyond that, we will also allow the customers to exchange energy with the grid, what we call vehicle to grid capability. But the reason why we are taking like a stepping stone approach is, you know, we're really step by step, we're doing this validation, building customer confidence, building confidence with the grid, and then also removing, you know, what we call the transaction friction in the process, right? Because the easier it is for the customer to see the value, the higher the adoption rates are going to be. And that's how we're, you know, working towards unlocking these capabilities.
So I'd just like to follow up a little bit on Dom's question.
Yeah.
And Dom, I think what you were asking, I believe, was, you know, if a customer just got the GM Energy PowerShift charger, could they use that in some way to power their house? And you really can't without the vehicle to H enablement kit. But on that light, as you can see behind me, Asim, I have the Ford Charge Station Pro, and I have Ford's Intelligent Backup Power System here at my house because I own a Ford F-150 Lightning. It was one of the first installs in the country. And I made a video on it. And my conclusion at the end of the video was, look, this is great. I'm happy that Ford came out and did this. However, the cost for most Americans probably isn't worth it. As great as it is to have, it's very expensive. Your system's even more expensive than the Ford system. The vehicle to home enablement kit's $5,600. The GM PowerShift charger, $1,600. $7,200. I know you're getting discounts now and so forth. Then you've got to install it. The installation could be $5,000 to $10,000, depending on what your house looks like. So the average American probably can't spend $12,000, $13,000, $14,000 to install one of these, when they can probably install a natural gas or propane generator for less that powers their house. So, you know, while I love this system, and honestly, it's one of the reasons why when I started into EVs 15 years ago, I was like, you know, we've got these virtual power banks. You know, it's not just that these vehicles drive better and are less, cost less to fuel and maintain. There's so many things we're going to be doing with these in the future, you know, and I know we are, and I commend you for taking this step. However, a lot of my followers said, Tom, you know, I got a Lightning. I just can't afford the Ford's home intelligent backup power system. It just doesn't make sense for me. I'm getting somewhere. Don't worry. So what they did was they went out and got like a Generac transfer switch, put it in their house. And when there's a power outage, they use the Pro Power onboard is what Ford calls it. I think GM just calls it like offloading power. So it surprised me that Ford didn't come out with a product, like their own transfer switch, Ford's transfer switch. Like, look, if you can't afford our whole home integration system, here, we'll sell you this transfer switch. We'll have our installation partner install it. Now you've got like a low budget home backup system, right? I don't think you guys have done that either. And I'm trying to understand why you and Ford haven't, say, partnered with a Generac who already has these transfer switches and made a GM branded one to give customers a low cost option to do this. And I hope I'm not blindsiding you with this question because we didn't send you a question ahead of time. But, you know, I that bothers me that we don't have a lower cost solution for people to power their homes when the trucks, the vehicles can do it. They have to go get a third party supplier.
So I think, Tom, look, I think it's a valid observation that the starting point for the technology is high. And you know, as with all new innovations, you know, we expect that the future generations of the product will benefit from economies of scale as adoption happens. And we're, you know, laser focused on driving the adoption. I think to the extent around product strategy, around what is the entry point around, you know, why not use a low cost transfer switch and pair it with, you know, your backup generator. I think the value proposition that we're really truly trying to unlock is that, you know, if you get into an EV and you don't have to necessarily rely on your backup generator, right? Over time, it can be a dual asset. It's a mobility asset and an energy asset. The second piece is we've been very purposeful and methodical in ensuring that the product meets the highest safety, quality, and reliability standards that are out in the industry. Because we're putting our brand on it, we're also going to provide our unmatched experience as it relates to the after sales and warranty. And in order to do that, you know, we have the V2H enablement kit. Now, you know, can we pursue lower cost options? Potentially, yes. But as that technology matures and as that technology scales, you know, we're going to continue to invest in looking at options. But the reality is that, you know, are there off the shelf solutions available? Yes. Are we encouraging customers to utilize them? No. Because what we are laser focused on is the safety and the reliability of the EV. We recognize that energy exchange as it happens from these assets has to be done in a safe manner. And for average consumer, you know, that is not as well versed with the product, doesn't take on all the complexity. And you know, we want to make sure, you know, my mom or my grandmother, when she gets in, you know, they just come on, turn the switch. And I think that is really the intention behind, we want to retain the simplicity of the offering at the same safety and quality. We recognize it comes at a price premium today, but the future generations of the product are going to be significantly lower. And what we're trying to do right now is really go after the market where the value proposition exists for customers, even who are, you know, entering into our affordable EVs. There are programs out there, you know, in partnership with utilities. When you pair that with the utility incentive, the incentive that's available from you know, the IRA, plus the product discounts we're offering, it's actually you know, can be significantly lower than the backup generator. So the idea for us is to really, you know, we've taken the customer simplicity at heart, and we're like, look, you don't have to come in and have to jerry-rig any of these things. The second piece I'll just emphasize is that, you know, there's hundreds of generators out there, right? And for us, what is also really important is that as we've deployed the system, we're doing testing and validation across all subcomponents. And we want to make sure that, you know, we certify our product against, you know, the most credible offerings that are out there. So as future generations of our products will be introduced, you'll see that we'll have those capabilities launched. But it's a matter of testing and validating it against it, because, you know, that's our minimum requirement around safety and quality before we release these products. And that's what we're focused on right now.
Okay. And to be clear, you might have misunderstood me. I didn't mean to introduce a generator.
Yes.
I meant some sort of a transfer switch so that the vehicles just plug into your GM branded transfer switch, because they can already offload. I mean, the Silverado can offload 10.2 kilowatts of power. For most homes, they can afford that, you know? So that's really what I was looking at. That's what a lot of the Ford customers did early on. They said, you know, I can't spend $12,000 on setting my house, but I want it to power my house when I need to. So I'm just going to buy this transfer switch and plug it in. And it worked. So that was something that I almost think that you guys should consider, you and Ford, you know, should consider low cost, some sort of low cost transfer switch solution. But in any event, one more topic, Dom, let me jump on real quick while we're talking about this, because it's complicated. There's a lot of different incentives available. Like you mentioned, incentives to install the stuff. One of the big impediments we have in this transition to EVs, the vehicles themselves, is education at the dealership point, at the point of sale part. And you've got three or four different chargers. You've got, you know, this V to H enablement kit, GM's power shift charger. It's onerous to explain this stuff. And the salespeople on the sales floor, they've got a hard enough time understanding kilowatt hour. You know, when they were talking miles per gallon, and now they're talking, you know, miles per kilowatt hour. And they're, you know, they're failing at that. Across all brands, the simplest, easiest part of this transition when a customer comes in, 9 salespeople out of 10 can't tell them how many miles per kilowatt hour their EV that they sell gets. They can tell them how many miles per gallon, but they can't do that. So how do we begin to, at the point of sale, get a person into an EV? Because we talked to about the proposition the value proposition of, well, look at all these other things you can do with it. You can power your house, you know, you could power a job site, you know, you could either buy this kit and power the whole house automatically, or you could use extension cord. Like, are you working on something to improve the education, the point of sale education? Because this industry has advanced tremendously in 10 years, tremendously, from the little 80 mile EVs we drove 10 years ago to what we have now and what the vehicle can do. But the point of sale hasn't gotten any better. And that's really hurting sales. What are you guys doing to do a better job there?
Yeah. So I think a couple of initiatives. So one of our core mandates as part of, you know, what we do to support the businesses is aside from products and services that we shared, it's also around EV education and EV ecosystem. So we have product marketing resources. We train our dealerships, all the sales agents. We're also streamlining, we have a lot of feedback sessions that we're running with the dealerships. And I will say personally, over the course of the last 3 months, before we launched the product for sale in all 50 states, we did a soft launch in 5 states to really learn and benefit from these, transaction frictions that are happening at the point of sale. And our key takeaway from that experience, Tom, was that we cannot expect the sales agents at the dealerships to transact on this product. What we are using the help of our dealerships is to really focus on charging, which is public charging and home charging. So be able to help customers appreciate the value of the investments that GM is making and any offers that are available to the customer, by the individual brands when they walk into the dealership. At that point of sale, we are requesting the dealerships to qualify the customer. So if you are interested, if you live in a state where solar energy credits are prevalent, or you own your home and have a solar system, would you be interested in additional capabilities? And if they express interest, at that point, we transition that customer to our own home energy consulting team. We have a platform called EV Concierge, which is, I encourage you to check it out, and I'll request Andrew to share a link with you. It's called energylive.com, and it is a 3D virtual call center. And we've been very successful in utilizing that platform where a customer, it can be a dealer, it can be a customer, we can schedule a 20-minute check-in, and they can actually walk the customer through all the product, right? Every capability of the product. And so they can, see it, feel it, they can see the size, how it's going to actually work and operate. And we've been actually very successful in doing this with our dealerships as well, right? How do we actually educate them? One of the challenges that I've seen, in the process is that, like you said, there's a lot of complexity, right? And we want to simplify it. So how do you give simple messages? Second is also getting the dealerships and their sales agents into EV lifestyles as well, right? And with the launch of our products and, just our sales performance over the course of the last 9 months, now we have, we just announced yesterday, we've sold over 300,000 EVs, the second largest market share. And that growth is at the back of the dealerships, right? And the dealerships are leaning in. And we've seen quite a bit of success where dealerships are leaning in to provide training, access these resources, help their sales agents, drive EVs themselves. And then I think the most important aspect of this is how do you, assimilate all those resources, make them available at the at the tip of the finger. If they can answer the question, send them to an energy concierge at our Energy Life Center. And then if there's interest on buying the system, then our home energy consultant can actually walk them through. Because what we've learned in the process is that we have to simplify. A big piece of this is education. But then in order to build consumer confidence, and what we're doing very differently than anybody else in the market is, we will take care of your product purchase, your installation. We have a partnership with QMerit that allows us to, deploy and install, and I think that is the whole idea behind that. Look, we want to provide a white glove service, and the reason why we see that is the product is new. There's a lot of complexity, and then most importantly, once it's installed, GM brand is going to stand behind that in terms of the warranty and the after sales experience. So if you have any issues ever, over the experience of the product, we'll triage and manage those calls for you. So. That's really how we're doing it. At the same time, it's a journey, Tom. I hope you've seen an improvement from, you've been a pioneer and early adopter of the product. But now as it becomes mainstream, a lot of that is also, grassroots education and platforms like this, where we have an opportunity to come in, talk about our products. So we really appreciate, the opportunity to evangelize our message.
Right. So these kits are pretty interesting. So you got say I've got the power shift charger, and then I shell up for the V2H and home enablement kit. So this is like, Tom was mentioning like a simple switch, that people can, set up. But with your enablement kit, that includes an inverter, a home hub, and a dark start battery, and 9.6 kilowatts of discharge power. Yes. And it also disconnects automatically. So it automatically disconnects your house from the grid in case of a you know, an outage, basically. Right on. So, and what? So, what part of the? What does the home hub part of this element of this system do?
Yeah. So the home energy management system is, if you expand that, Dominic, and add a storage, stationary storage, what we call the power bank system. So you can buy a stationary storage. It can be anywhere from 10.6 to 17.4 kilowatt hour, right? It comes in two configurations. They're stackable. They can be as, you know, big as 35 kilowatt hours. And you can then have a fully contained system that allows you to exchange energy between your storage power bank as well as your EV. And if you then pair it with a solar system, you know, you can charge all your assets from the solar, you know, from your solar system as well. So it's a building block, you know, kind of think through it. You first use the EV, then you can bundle it, you know, pair it with a stationary storage system. What's also unique about our offering is you can buy the stationary storage system on its own as well, right? So you don't have to necessarily have an EV. If you're just interested in a power bank product, you can do that. I think I just want to, you know, one point I would like to emphasize is I appreciate, Tom, your emphasis on affordability and how do you lower the entry point, and around transfer switch. And I think I see the fact that in the future, right, we do need to have more affordable options. But one of the reasons why the enablement kit is a part of the whole portfolio product offering is really to preserve the battery, right? So what we started the podcast with was, hey, how do you ensure that the product, you know, can be warrantied, and, you know, you preserve the residual value of the asset? And the way we do that is, you know, through a certified set of products that we're enabling, right? And this is the reason why we're testing so extensively. Now, the vehicle to load capability that, you know, can it be, you know, deployed with a simple transfer switch? The answer is yes. But then does that ensure that over time, you know, that the vehicle will actually perform safely and, you know, we'll actually preserve the life of the asset, which is the EV battery itself? You know, that is all the monitoring and the smarts of the system are done in the V2H enablement kit, right? And you can actually, the customer can see it on their digital app. So just want to emphasize that, look, it's a more complex offering. It's a more capable offering, but it is taking into account not only customer convenience, but more importantly, you know, we've got the warranty in mind as well. And we want to make sure that, you know, our assets are built to last.
Asim, I have a question as far as compatibility with other systems. I remember when I installed my F-150 Lightning system, a ton of people asked me, Tom, I have a Powerwall. If I put this thing in, can I pair it with a Tesla Powerwall? I already have it. Or Tom, I have a Sunrun. No, not Sunrun, because Sunrun was their partner. But I have a Tesla solar array. Will that work with Ford's inverter? And I know in the beginning, even Ford couldn't tell me what will work with its system or not, because it was still so new, they weren't sure what would be compatible. A lot of people already have existing, you know, Tesla was super early to market with this home energy storage stuff. So there's a lot of EV-minded people that have a Tesla Powerwall, even if they didn't buy Tesla's car products, you know? So will your system be compatible with other solar arrays from other brands and also other home energy storage systems if a customer has it already?
Yeah, so the answer is that it's fully compatible with any solar system, right, the existing or new, but it's limited on the existing storage system compatibility. Presently, the system only works with our power bank product. We're looking at ways around how we can introduce in the next generation of the products to be able to configure and add existing storage systems. There are configurations, Tom, that are available, like off the shelf, where, you know, you can pair existing solar, you know, storage systems into the system. But when we sell the product off the shelf, it's only compatible with our power bank. However, it is fully compatible with any solar system, right? AC solar or DC solar, you know, that can be easily plugged in to the configuration. Where we see the product strategy evolving is as part of our focus on reducing, taking advantage of economies of scale and reducing the barriers to entry. This is interoperability with other EVs as well as existing storage systems is a key area of focus. In order for that to happen, All the systems have to adopt same standards, same communication standards around how these systems talk to each other. So we are, laser focused on driving towards unified standards as a company. And as other OEMs adopt the standards, I expect that in the future that'll allow the customers to interoperate these platforms.
Okay, so I have to follow up on that. Are you currently talking with the other companies making these, like Ford and Lucid and, the Hyundai Kia brands that can currently do Vita Load or Vita H? Because, like, can you guys all just get together and say, look, we're going to do it this way? I mean, I know it sounds easy, but yes. Because, like, I had the Silverado here on loan for a while. I did some reviews and everything. I would have loved to have been able to plug it into my system and show it working with the Ford system or vice versa. I pull up with my Lightning to somebody's house that has your system. It would be great to be able to use it. We have to get there. And, I know like standards bodies have to be involved, but so do you guys. You have to get together in a room and say, look, we're going to all do it this way. Has that started yet?
It has. And there's a standard called ISO 15118-2, which is really is the building block for that vision, Tom. And majority of the OEMs, us and our partners, our competitors have announced that they will migrate towards the standard. And as future EVs become capable with that 15118 standard, the systems will be interoperable. So, there's been quite a bit of work done in the industry led by IEEE, led by SAE, where, there's been a focus around adopting the standards. And as you've seen, OEMs have come together and adopted the next standard, right? And the intention behind is the same, that we want to really drive and unify adoption and also standardize the equipment, because that lowers costs for everybody.
I had a question just around the usage of the system. So say I got the whole enchilada. I got the power shift charger. I've got the enablement kit, and I've got a power bank, like, I don't know, say 17.7 kilowatt hours of energy storage and batteries. We have a hurricane come through, which I live right on the coast of Florida. This happens all the time. And we lose power for, 2 weeks. So the power bank won't have enough energy to keep me going for 17.7 kilowatt hours. Won't keep me more than like a couple of days or so. I have an Ultium vehicle in my garage. I'd like to have a Cadillac Lyric in my garage. That would be nice one day. Say the power bank kind of gets down to just a couple kilowatt hours left. Can I then, like, and my car is almost empty. So can I go and like fill my car up at a charger someplace and come back and plug it into the system and recharge the power bank with that? Or can I just kind of take over from the power bank and charge the house?
Yeah. So, in that specific scenario, Dominic, if you can replenish the charge on the EV, you can use it to recharge your power bank. Energy can flow easily across the assets, okay, on a fully contained system. So you don't have to necessarily rely on grid power or solar power in order to be able to replenish the energy in the power bank. So that, the system is designed to fully exchange. What we've also done is, depending on consumer preferences, what's the minimum state of charge that you want to preserve on your EV? And all our vehicles are equipped with that requirement. You can have anywhere from 10% or 20% state of charge. That below that threshold, the EV will not discharge into the EV. And the system is intelligent enough to know that that's the limit, such that you can preserve, that 30 miles or 50 miles of range in a scenario where, you want to ensure that you have access to the vehicle. So the system is intelligent enough to design that. And this is one of the unique, value propositions of our platform. The way we build this modular system is that it can exchange energy between the power bank and the EV, and vice versa. So that's really, beneficial for the customer.
Well, that's cool, because like a lot of times, like the household, the energy or the power will go out here, but a lot of the places where the charging stations are set up, their power is a bit more secure. I find, at least in my town, I know the local charge station generally stays up even with the power outages. So it's nice to know that you can have that flexibility just to run out, grab some power, bring it back home. It's like going out and getting gas for your generator or something. Just, fill up your car and come back. That's awesome. All right. Go ahead, Tom.
So you mentioned earlier about transition to Nexus. So customer buys your whole system now, because they get a new Silverado or Hummer or Lyric or something like that. A few years, the vehicles are all starting to slowly transition. Now, what do I do with my GM Energy Power Shift? Can I swap the cable and everything still works, or do I need to get a new charger?
So with all the future, you know, transitions that will happen, Tom, you know, we will have adapters, right? So for any existing Power Shift charger that you have, that you've, you know, you've purchased with us, and if the future vehicle has a NACS, you know, port, it will come with a CCS adapter that allows you to then, you know, exchange energy. So there'll always be backward compatibility, right? I mean, we're thinking these things through because we recognize that, you know, not all change will happen, you know, imminently, and there will have to be a need for adapters, both CCS to NACS and vice versa, for a period of time, because it's not only the PowerShift chargers in the garage, but a lot of the public charging chargers that are accessible out in the industry. Until they all migrate, the, you know, adapters will continue to be you know, be necessary requirement, and we will, as part of our product strategy, you know, we will be offering those to ensure that future vehicles remain compatible with our system.
But do you know if the GM Energy PowerShift charger can just do a simple cable? You might not know this. This might be up to engineers. Because let's say a few years down the road, now that you don't have any NACS vehicles, you don't want to just keep using an adapter at home every day. I mean, you can, but do you really want that extra point of failure? Do you know if it's a simple cable swap, if you can have a Q-Merit or an electrician come out and swap it? I mean, that might not be in your wheelhouse, but...
Yeah, it's not a simple cable swap, Tom. Okay. And so I can answer the question. That's, you know, that's the answer is no there. But I think what we are looking at is, I think there's twofold strategy. One, going forward, you know, the PowerShift charger is the lowest cost component in the whole platform, right? Can it be actually swapped, you know, and replaced? That is, you know, a possibility, and especially the future generations of universal chargers that have, you know, that flexible capability across all different charging standards, you know, we expect we'll be able to offer that. Or if the customer chooses not to do that, you know, then they'll always have the adapter as well. So I'm not as concerned about the fact that, you know, how do we actually ensure future compatibility? Because one of the key things, or key tenets, again, is going back to simplicity, is that we want to look at what's the simplest and easiest way to swap these things out, and the charger, you know, remains the you know, that lowest point in the system that you can easily swap.
Yeah. The only reason why I mention that is I have so many of my followers tell me now they're holding off, they're not buying a car or buying a charger because they want to wait till everything has NACS, and I tell them don't, like, that's ridiculous. The adapters work just fine, but people have it in their head that they're buying old technology if they get this. And I don't agree with that. I don't think that that's the way they should be, you know, thinking this, but that is on a lot of people's minds. People are literally not buying vehicles now because they're like, I'm not going to buy an EV till it has an export. And I think that's a terrible decision, but that is, you know, that's reality. A lot of people feel that way. So, okay.
Yeah. And I think that's where we just need to continue to educate. Like, Tom, as long as you keep, you know, advocating for the fact that, look, you know, that this is not necessarily as such a relevant decision in your purchase. And, you know, we're doing the same. We're really helping inform the customers at the dealerships, at our, you know, marketing sites, to really drive the message home that, you know, the technology will continue to be the cutting edge. And yes, between NACS and CCS, right, there might be confusion today, but, you know, customers can easily overcome that through adapters. And in the future, you know, the charger's price point is continuing to go down.
Okay.
Well, we're just about out of time here, but I really like what GM's doing with offering, like, the charger and the home energy kit. It's really a kind of whole system, and you have a solar component in there as well. If you go, people go to GM Energy, they can see, I think your partner, was it SunPower, I believe?
We're actually partnered with Energy Sage.
Sage, okay.
Yes, which is Schneider Q-Merit entity that allows us to access all qualified solar developers and solar installers in order to have the system be configured with any existing or new solar system.
Right. So this is like, I feel like it's the most complete ecosystem energy storage and saving and vehicle to home and grid system out there right now. So just to wrap things up, how do you pick just the customer? Say we have like a few hundred thousand people listening to you right now. How do you convince them or inform them that, you know, this might be a great addition to your house, you know, for security, to increase the value of that asset and those kind of things?
Yeah, so I think, so first of all, I highly encourage your listeners to check us out at gmenergy.gm.com. As I said earlier, we're running a promotion. You know, we're happy to offer these discounts on our products to help you, appreciate the value. I think the value proposition is very simple in my mind. I think one, for customers who are, in parts of the area or grid where they actually see outages, and Dominic, you shared your story around, hurricanes, and they become more commonplace. The system can provide peace of mind and value where, you can actually power your home in less than 30 seconds. You wouldn't even know and the power will come on because your EV is plugged in the garage. So having that, that seamless capability and that flexibility and peace of mind is the premium, which I will say is priceless. The second, I think, aspect is as the customer becomes more comfortable, we definitely want to help them take advantage of all the energy offerings that are available through their utilities, whether it's saving money in order, for their charging offers through price signals, or by helping them enroll in programs where they can make money by reducing their consumption off the grid during peak periods, right? And companies in California, in the Northeast, in Texas are offering. And so what just continue to watch more and more programs that are going to be launched in partnership with GM Energy and these energy companies. And as we scale these capabilities, you'll be able to get more value from that investment that you make with GM. So I would say those are the two key things. And lastly, and most importantly, you've got a dealer around the corner that you can, call into if there's anything, that you ever have a concern with, or more importantly, we are a well-established brand, and we'll stand behind our product, and its warranty and quality. Looking forward to have your listeners check us out and connect you with one of our home energy consultants and have you walk through the product.
All right. Well, I guess that brings us to the end of our show. Thank you for spending this time with us, Asim. How can people keep up with what GM Energy is doing? Are you on different like social platforms, social media
platforms?
Yes, we
are. Yeah, so we're on LinkedIn. We're on, all of our social media platforms, with GM. And we frequently also, post stories, related to some of the customer success stories. We have a few that are actually lined up. We're happy to share them, and watch. And I think also, Tom, just want to put a plug in. I think, what you've done to really deploy the system in your own garage, I think, gives people a lot of confidence and inspires. So we definitely appreciate the opportunity to show the value of, our system in your garage, because I'd love to have you experience the product and especially contrast it, given that, you've gone through early stages and really appreciate the value of the product. So happy to take, take you up on that.
Well, I mentioned it to contacts within your department before the system came out. I said, I'd be willing to put this in and do side-by-side comparisons. So the offer's still there. So you guys know where to find me.
We'll take you up on that, Tom.
Okay. All right.
All right. Stay tuned for more exciting developments in this area. All right. So I guess if you have any questions or comments, please leave them below or get in touch with us on the social media platform of your choice. Don't forget, if you like the show, please give us a thumbs up, click subscribe, tap that bell icon for notifications. Thank you all very much for joining us, and we'll see you again very soon. Ciao.